Blog Talk Radio.
A Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
Good afternoon to those of you on the East Coast. Good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever and, oh, by the way, whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studios of eloquentonline.net in beautiful, crisp New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, and a rather long drive in a rental car provided to you by Progressive Insurance, but a short flight on the Millennium Falcon. His name is Bob Schroeder. Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing this morning?
You are back up in Seattle, Washington. We'll be joining shortly our guest from Verity Credit Union. How's everything with you up there in the beautiful American Northwest?
Well, you know what? It's a little overcast today, and the weather's a little damp, but it's always sunshine in my life. Enjoying my time up here.
I'm sure you are. Hey, folks, before we get going today, I've got to make a real quick shout-out to a good friend of the show. Her name is Gina. She is a former credit union CEO from Michigan, and she is a diehard. I mean, she is a passionate Detroit Tigers fan. So I just got a quick shout-out for her.
The count's 0-2 on Victorino.
Broadcasting live from New Braunfels, Texas, but both my parents were born in Fall River, Massachusetts, and I was born into Red Sox Nation in 1967. We are kicking off the World Series tonight. I am doing the show adorned in my 2007 Tim Wakefield home jersey. Bob, are you a baseball fan?
Yeah, I'm a White Sox fan, though, so I had at least one heyday in my life.
Yes, you did a couple
years
back. 2005,
they won. Of course, you remember that.
Remember it very well. The Red Sox are my first sports love. I just grew up adoring the Red Sox, went through many difficult years, and I'm just looking forward to the World Series. There's something special about the World Series. It's even more special when your team is in it. Hey, folks, speaking of the World Series, it's going to be a great performance tonight. You're listening to The Power of Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? And we want to, of course, thank our sponsor, Marquee. Before you go confidently into the future, go Marquee.com. Well known for their MCIF and CRM solutions for banks all around the world, Marquee is also one of the fastest-growing creative agencies. And next week on the 30th, we'll have principal owner Jake Kassing on to talk about his new book, Big Data. One of the basics of banking is understanding that big data, but one of the other basics, one of the simple truths about banking is that you lend money and you get paid back. So when we get back, we're going to have Sarah from Verity Credit Union talking about all the great things they're doing in the lending arena up at Verity Credit Union, and we will do it all right after this. That is right. Joining us live from Verity Credit Union, it's Sarah Slonsky. Hey, Sarah, how you doing?
Doing good. Good morning.
It's very nice to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us. So as we get going here, tell us something about you. Tell us about Sarah and your career with credit unions up to this point.
So married, on a personal note, married with four daughters, ages 2 to 16.
Wow.
I've got toddlers and teenagers. I've been with Verity for 10 years now. Started in the branches, moved into security and fraud, internal audit, and then now I've been in lending, overseeing the consumer lending and collection function for the last 4 years.
Very nice.
Wow, lending, that's such a big responsibility for credit unions. You are responsible for generating 80% plus of the revenue. Tell me about some of the things you do to make your program so profitable at Verity Credit Union.
Well, you know, I think it's focusing on the member and doing what we can to save the member money, provide convenience for them, access. And so just ensuring that whenever we're meeting their needs, we're also making sure we're being paid for it.
Well, you know, Sarah, it seems like every time I get a brochure or I get an email for a conference, there's always lots of stuff about social media this and youth marketing that. That's all fun, and that's all a necessary part of a modern banking brand, but none of it can happen without a successful lending program. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, loans and the interest we earn is a major portion of our income, and without that, we're not able to serve our members. We're not able to put in money for marketing. Even though social media can be done with little dollars, it takes a lot in the way of resources of people. So it's very important that we're able to bring money into the credit union so that we can serve our members.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we've come a long way from filling out the loan applications and waiting for loan committees and credit committees to make decisions. Where do you see the future of lending in 2014 and beyond?
Well, I think for us, I mean, online is a big portion of that. This year in April, we actually launched mobile applications. And so we've probably had about 30 applications come through so far, but we're able to allow for a member to be out and about, submit an application on their phone. We can approve it. We can then push documents to their phone, and they can actually sign the papers right on their phone.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, I remember my first loan. We just described it. I sat down. I went to the Randolph Brooks Federal Credit Union over on Walsham Road in San Antonio, and I put my name on the clipboard, and the lady called me over, and I filled out the loan app. I think I filled it out in a pencil now that I think about it, and it was for my first car. I got a loan for $600 to buy my first little 1973 Toyota Celica. So I'm fascinated when I hear about how much that transaction has changed. I wanted to ask you about your own personal interaction with lending without going into too much personal detail. Do you remember the last loan that you applied for and had funded and how you went about securing it?
Sure, yeah. My last one was mortgage refi. I mean, I think that's been big the last few years with rates being so low. And the whole process started at home online, just applying. You know, now with email and scanners, most of my documentation was able to be sent over through email. And then signing was easy. It was, you know, popping into my branch and signing the paperwork.
You know, I had my last auto loan in 2006, and I did it all online. But even in 2006, we didn't have that ability to do stuff with our phones the way we do now. So I think it's an exciting time to be in lending because the technology just continues to evolve, which sounds like it's going to make it more streamlined and easier for members to get the loans they're looking for.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's great the way the credit union movement is developing, and you don't have to go to the branch or to the specific location to get the loan. My last loan was a home equity line of credit with my credit union, and it was a phone call, and next thing I know, the documents were in the mail, and we were good to go. So it's the key, I think, is to make it easy for the members.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Sarah, I got a question for you. If you we found your phone in the airport, what kind of music would we be able to listen to?
You would find a very, very wide range. You'd find some jazz, Diana Krall, find some pop 40, and you'd find some Eminem.
Eminem.
Ooh, hey, all right. Hey, we like Eminem. I actually have a Diana Krall song on my phone. The Look of Love is one of my favorite renditions of that song. The one that she did. I love her voice, and I love the way that she reimagined standard songs, and I love her original stuff too. I got to jump back to something you said. First of all, when you said that you're married with four daughters, I've got to remember to pray for you and your husband at Midpoint Service this week tonight. That is fascinating and quite a range. I think you said 2 to 16?
Correct.
I just want to ask you to put on your futurist hat for a second. When that 2-year-old is looking for her first mortgage, what do you think it might be like for her?
Well, I think, number one, it's going to be completely paperless.
I
think
agree.
That it's going to be applying on the phone. It's going to be much more streamlined than it is. The mortgage side of lending is still behind the times when it comes to efficiencies, and so I think that that's going to improve definitely in the next 10, 15 years.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, listen, Sarah, I want to wish you nothing but continued success, both in your personal life and your professional life there at Verity. I want to thank you so much for taking some time out of your busy morning to join us on this show and to let you know that you're always welcome back on this program. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you very, very soon. Wonderful. And we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to The Power of Performance. If your brand were a band, would you leave your audience wanting more?
Hit it! That is right. You are back on the air live, The Power Performance, with Jason and Bob. Bob filling in again, a second week in a row. Man, you're becoming a radio veteran here. Now, I know you're involved in a lot of lending consulting. I just want to ask you, if you are up, I know you do professional speaking. I know you've been a chief executive at a credit union. In your opinion, what are some of the things that credit unions continue to do wrong when it comes to their lending programs?
Well, I think that training of the loan staff is really critical. I work with Lending Solutions, so I need to disclose that, Lending Solutions Consulting Company, and we go to credit unions. Right now we're working with Sarah at Verity Credit Union, and what we do is try to train the loan officers to help determine trends on credit scores. I think it's really interesting. Some people make credit score decisions on lending, but what we feel is more important than just looking at the credit score is determining what's the future path of that credit score. So if you have somebody who was had some challenges in the past and the credit score is moving up, we feel that's a much better loan than somebody who had perfect credit union with the score moving down a little bit. And that's one thing I don't think enough credit unions are really looking into, as far as, you know, what is the trend of the score. We also do a fair amount of training on bankruptcy indicators, and just trying to help credit unions reduce their losses and increase yields with better loan decisioning on the lower credit scores loan applications.
It would probably be just too simple to say, well, then what do you think some of the credit unions out there that are doing well are doing right? But what are some of the things that you see where credit unions do something that proactively changes the trajectory of that profit needle with their lending programs and starts moving it in the right direction?
Well, I think you just almost have to reinvent yourself. You know, looking at the environment we're in, a lot of credit unions are going for the A's and the A+, and they're fighting for 2.9%, 1.9% auto financing. I can't think of any credit union in the country that has cost of less than those type of expenses. So that section of your portfolio is marginally profitable or a loss, even if you get 100% repayment back. So I think moving down to some of the higher yielding loans, it seemed to be fashionable a couple of years ago to cut back on unsecured loans and Visa cards and so forth. But even during the big downturn we had the past couple of years, those were some of the most profitable loans we had. And so we were, as a consulting company, encouraging credit unions to get more aggressive on the unsecured. We feel that the unsecured loans as a percentage of your assets should be in the 20% range. Those yields are somewhere between 8 and 12%, depending on how your credit union does pricing. There's all kinds of margin for error. Losses are typically range from about 1 to 4%, depending on how aggressive you are. So if you take a look at the 12% yield with the 4% losses, you're getting 8% after losses, and that sure beats the starting point at 2.9% auto loan financing for A-plus members.
It really does. And, you know, you just said something. One of the reasons I've always loved Lending Solutions Consulting Incorporated, you guys have always sort of been, I don't want to say, you're not outside the mainstream, but I've always thought you had kind of a unique approach to things. I think, and you can agree or disagree with this, I think sometimes there's a pack mentality in credit unions. We all go to the same conferences. We all listen to the same speakers. We all tend to do the same things. But you just gave a perfect example of something that you could have done during the Great Recession that, like you said, would have earned you a much better rate of return with a fair amount of tolerable risk involved. As we hopefully come out of these rather difficult economic times, what are some other things that you're telling people they should be doing that maybe they're not hearing at the 560,000 credit union conferences that go on every week?
Yeah, well, the biggest thing is training of the employees at a regular intervals. It's hard to keep yourself motivated and so forth. So it's training is not a one and done. It's kind of like, I think Zig Ziglar said, it's like a shower, where your showers are only good for 24 hours, but it doesn't mean you stop doing them. You take a shower every day because they're only good for 24 hours. Well, training may only be good for 3 months or 6 months, but you need the regular intervals. You need to keep the staff motivated. You need to keep the staff energized and invigorated and have that passion to serve the members and look for opportunities. What we preach at Lending Solutions, and we all credit our founder, Rex Johnson, as some of this thing, is to look to see what no one else sees. And we look at loan applications that may be a walking bankrupt. Most of the credit unions in the country would say, well, excessive obligations in relation to income and delinquent obligations, I'm not going to do the loan, you're denied. And, we feel that there's opportunities to look at that loan. If you have a member who has always paid their bills on time, going through a difficult time, they're probably going to go bankrupt. But they have habits that are ingrained in them to always pay their bills on time. So after the bankruptcy, they don't have any obligations. There are going to be excellent opportunities to develop lifelong relationships. So that, I think, is one of the biggest things. See what no one else sees. Most of the credit unions in the country would just deny those loans because they're soon to be bankrupt. What we say is take a look at the opportunities. Give the member a loan that would survive bankruptcy. Promise them credit after the bankruptcy, and you're going to have a lifelong relationship.
I completely agree with you. And, you know, this is the show is called The Power Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? And I know you're a musician. You know as well as I do. And when you talk about training at the credit union or training in banking, that's what we would call in the musical vernacular rehearsal or practice. And you know as well as anybody that whenever you get up in front of the audience to put on a live performance, that live performance may only be 90 minutes, but it's based upon hours and hours and hours and hours of practice. You said something just now that I think is right on the money. I think that the baby boomers are going to continue to be the people that keep the lights on. They'll be the ones applying for the reverse mortgages and the home equity lines of credit and the second mortgages and things like that. I think in many situations, they encounter young people that are typically hired at credit unions to do the member-facing platform kind of duties or the call center kinds of things. I think sometimes Generation Y doesn't always have the same interpersonal skills because they haven't been raised the same way with those interpersonal skills. It's not a knock on them. It's just a generational part of their DNA. And I think if credit unions spend more time focusing on the conversations that create the experience that makes a loan an enjoyable, seamless experience, then they'll see a lot more of them. And it sounds like what you're saying is we all have the metrics and we all have the formulas to decide who should be funded, but I'm not sure every credit union is doing a great job at how they intentionally engage their potential borrowers with the way that people represent the brand.
Yeah, I agree. When you take a look at the opportunity you have to serve somebody, and I just want you to imagine that you had some debt and you go to your credit union and you are looking for help. And what you get from them is, oh, you have excessive obligations. Well, I know I have excessive obligations. That's why I came to you. I'm looking for solutions. And then if the final decision is no, you're not going to help that member, my guess is they're probably going to have a long-time memory of that, and you're not going to be on their list of businesses to go back to and patronize once things settle down. Mm-hmm. So I think there's opportunities in every loan. I think credit unions are turning down much more loans than they have to. And with that turn down is also, in most cases, a termination of a potential relationship.
I completely agree with you. I mean, I've been at places in my life. We've all been there when we're young, and we don't have, you know, the credit history. You know, the old catch 22 when you're 16. I need a job to get a car, but I need a car to get a job. But we find ourselves in the trajectory of our life going through ups and downs. I know I can hear credit union CEOs listening to the show going, hey, but we can't fund those bad loans. I know what you're saying, not to fund bad loans, but not to get completely, you know, focused on just the criteria for funding, to look at the possibility, to look at the history of the relationship and think about where that relationship has been and where it could go. Because credit unions are supposed to be that alternative to the bank. They're supposed to know their members better. They're supposed to understand the needs of their members better. And it's absolutely right what you're saying. Hey, folks, when we get back, we'll have about 7 minutes to go. We'll wrap up the show, and we will do it all right after this. That is right. A little Adam Ann on your Wednesday afternoon. You don't drink, you don't smoke. What do you do? None of our business, really. You are listening to The Power of Performance with our superstar guest co-host, Bob Schroeder. Bob, I cannot tell you how impressed I was. I'm not trying to embarrass you, but I cannot tell you how impressed I was when I listened back to the show last week, knowing that you had not even 3 hours to prepare for the show. So I did want to ask you, have you done, you know, broadcasting, or do you have any of that background in your resume?
Well, no, I have not. Some of my formal training would be karaoke and open mic nights at the local pub. That would be about it. Being in the role that as a CEO, you have opportunities to speak to groups from time to time, and it could be staff meetings, it could be branches, it could be a number. So it has been something that you know, you do get familiar with, and all of a sudden people throws a mic in your hand and you better perform. So it is something that I have been used to over time. And the subject matter of credit unions, I've been in the industry 32 years, so I better know something about it.
Well, I got to tell you, I want to thank Abigail Baburka and Dave Richardson from the World Council, and Abby was from IBM SECU Credit Union last week. One of the most listened to shows we've had this year, just very, very popular, International Credit Union Day. I'm so glad that we could cover that. That's one thing I love about this show, Bob, is that we're generally not supposed to get our host the day of the show, but we have picked up guests the day of the show all the time. I love the flexible nature of radio. I also wanted to ask you, I know you were the CEO of a credit union for a long time. Do you think about ever going back into that role?
Well, I'm really enjoying my role right now. What we're doing is we're going around to credit unions and helping them improve performance. That's how I met Sarah from Verity Credit Union. She had the foresight of saying, let's bring in lending solutions and train some of our staff. We work with all types of credit unions. Sarah's credit union is a great credit union looking to get better. We work with credit unions that are struggling, looking to become profitable, and all types of credit unions. And it's really been a fun 2 weeks here with Sarah and Verity Credit Union. So I'd like to thank her for her business, and hopefully we'll make the magic happen at Verity like we have at so many other credit unions.
You know, I actually wanted to ask you that with about 3 minutes left to go on the show. Sarah mentioned that ability, to a person like me who's now 46 years old, to pull a smartphone out of your pocket and have a loan funded was science fiction when I sat down in 1985 and got my first little signature loan from Randolph Brooks Federal Credit Union. In your opinion, is there a deadline for credit unions? The big ones already have it, but is there a deadline for credit unions that might be on the smaller asset side to have these mobile services before they just start missing out on so much of the marketplace they can't recover?
Well, I think it really depends on what your niche is. I believe that the most progressive and most successful credit unions will have opportunities in both the mobile apps and the person-to-person. I do think that the smaller credit unions that are focusing on the personal touch and the long-time relationships will still have room to prosper in this environment. They just may never get to the level that they can without all the opportunities. But I think you have to really have a breadth of services. You have to have the ability to sit down face-to-face with a member and develop that relationship for the members that want that. You're also to take advantage of all the opportunities, certainly going to have the mobile apps to take advantage of the business that wants to interact that way. I do think that both avenues will prosper. I think that you have to have both in order to really take advantages of the full opportunities. But there'll be opportunities for people who are just dealing with the face-to-face to continue. Yeah.
Well, listen, the other thing I think is important, and if you've been watching sports and TV in general, you saw that Bank of America has just linked up with the Khan Academy, the most popular online tutoring site for young people all over the country. Bank of America has hooked up with the Khan Academy to start offering financial literacy courses. I think one thing that credit unions absolutely have to do to target that Generation Z, that 16-year-old that Sarah has, and people younger than that, is to get out there and start talking about how to thoughtfully and proactively plan for when they will inevitably need to borrow money. And I think that's a great way to inform and educate and inspire young people while at the same time expanding that brand. And that's something we're going to talk about over the next few months, this new I think Bank of America just did something very, very smart by linking up with the Khan Academy. Bob, I cannot thank you enough for being our guest co-host for 2 weeks. You've been an absolute delight, and I hope that we have the opportunity to bring you back either as a guest or as a guest co-host, and I wish you nothing but safe travels and peace and prosperity in every single thing that you do.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed my time with you. So anytime you need a co-host, just give me a holler. I'll be glad to fit it in if my schedule allows.
Well, you're at the top of our list of superstar co-hosts. Everybody else, thank you so much for listening. My grandmother Rita was born the month the Red Sox won their World Series in 1918, and passed away before she ever saw them win another one. Grandma Rita, I'm thinking about you tonight as I sit down to watch the World Series. I love you very much. I know you're listening. Everybody else, have a great, great week. And until next Wednesday, we'll talk to you soon.